Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're okay, and thank you for downloading today's podcast on January 9th. I hope you've managed to stay warm and dry as Storm Gerrede battered parts of Kent. We'll have more details on that in just a moment. Later, we'll have reaction to an announcement from KCC about how much they want to raise council tax, and a women's rugby star is coming back to her roots in Kent this weekend to inspire more women and girls to take up the sport. All of that still to come, but let's get back to our top story now. Cleanup operations are continuing across the county in the wake of Storm Gerrede. Cars have been moved by the force of water as strong winds and heavy rain caused major disruption. Several flood alerts were issued with river levels rising due to the heavy rain. Trees have also been brought down, blocking some roads in the county. Huge waves caused flooding on Sandgate Esplanade earlier this morning. Kent Online editor Phil Hayes has been describing what he saw.
I was on a morning run, and as I got from Hive through Seabrook towards Sandgate, the path ended because it became completely flooded along Sandgate Esplanade. So I had to jump up onto the sea wall to get past. There was shingle all across the road. Cars had been moved across the road. I spoke to one neighbour. She said she slept through it but found that her car had been moved across the road and was worried that it might be damaged. But yeah, the road has been closed on the Sandgate end and on the Seabrook end. So anyone trying to get between Hythe and Folkestone this morning is going to have to find a different route.
Now, I've been speaking to Toby Howe, who's from the Kent Resilience Forum.
The storm has hit mainly the coastal part of Kent really badly. We've had strong winds and very heavy rain elsewhere across the county. We've got a lot of flooding in various locations. The biggest problem that we've had is down at Sandgate, where it seems that half the beach has been washed onto the main road, cars have been moved, etc. So that road is currently closed, which is a main road, as we all know, down there. There are crews on site hastily down there, but of course they need to bring in a lot of equipment to be able to remove all that shingle and make sure the road is safe before we open it. So that is ongoing through this morning.
Reports of trees down and things like that as well across any roads?
Yeah, we haven't heard any major blockages on the roads. There have been trees down, they've been dealt with. We've had our excellent out-of-hours officers out throughout the night dealing with issues in the appalling weather as well. So, yeah, we've got some great guys and girls out there that have been working very hard to make sure our roads keep in a safe condition.
And obviously the work will be carried out through today, but is it looking like the clean-up operations are going to run into the weekend as well?
There will be some more, yes, because unfortunately, of course, because we've had all the very cold weather and ice situation throughout the week, a lot of our resource, a lot of the contractors are all driving our gritters. So it's making sure we're able to bring in some additional resource where necessary to do the clear up as well, because we'll still be gritting over the weekend. And again, they've been incredibly hard working all through the week.
When you say additional resources, where do they come from?
So we have our main contractor, which is Amy at the moment, but they have a lot of subcontractors that they can then call on to bring in that additional resource. So we have a fixed contract with fixed numbers throughout the year. But as I say, the fact that, you think over the past 10 days, we've done 17 gritting runs. They've been out morning and evening gritting. So therefore, we have to pull in subcontractors to assist them.
How many times a year is that a common thing, or is it sort of just in extreme circumstances?
It's in extreme circumstances. It's essential always that we have a contractor that have subcontractors to enable them to do that. Especially we know through the winter, if it is a busy week such as we've had now, we always need to be able to keep other things going. We need trees cleared, we need potholes filled, etc. So we can't just have that main resource because they've got to be gritting the roads.
Speaking of gritting, are we expecting the gritters to be out again tonight and across the weekend? I've seen the forecast. I think temperatures are going to drop.
They are going to drop. It looks likely that they'll be out in the early hours tomorrow morning. It means they go out at about 3 o'clock in the morning so that the roads are sort of safe by the time everybody else wakes up and gets out there. I think they'll be out for a few more days. I mean, January, February is always our worst time anyway. But yeah, as I say, if you think since New Year's Eve. They've been out 17 times already, so they have been very, very busy.
We'll have the latest updates on the storm at Kent Online. You can also keep up to date on the state of the county's roads by listening to the regular travel reports on KMFM.
Kent Online News.
Taking a look at some of our other stories today, an inquest into the death of a Kent man who drowned after falling into a river has found it was accidental. The body of Daniel J. Grosset from Headcorn was discovered in the River Medway in Maidstone last August. The coroner heard the 37-year-old had traces of cocaine and spice in his system and ruled out any third-party involvement. Police have uncovered a cannabis factory in Margate while investigating reports of fly tipping. Around 150 plants were seized from a property in Cliff Terrace on Monday after growing equipment was found dumped in another part of the district. Officers say the building's electrics had been tampered with, causing a fire risk. They've dismantled the operation and an investigation is ongoing. Now, council bosses have announced plans to increase our council tax in Kent by just under 4%. That's 1% lower than the cap set by the government. Reform UK say they're on track to deliver savings for residents, but opposition groups fear it could lead to more service cuts. Nicola's been unpacking what this means for the county with local democracy reporter Simon Finlay.
Well, the big headline from this is that they're proposing to increase council tax by 3.99%. Now, that's significant because it's below the cap that the government set at 4.99%, which is something that they were absolutely determined to do because of the way that it looks. Everybody was saying that Reform couldn't run a council, they couldn't do this, and they would be going bankrupt within 9 months. But what they've managed to do is, on the face of it, they seem to have pulled it off. And are going to be able to at least present what appears to be a balanced budget when it goes to before the full council on February the 12th. However, the opposition will point and question to the overspend from this year, and they will question and ask for answers about the budget gap for next year, and they will be pointing to the cost of adult social care, SEND, the home to school transport. They're going to be asking if there is enough resistance to shocks within the budget, and they're going to ask about the state of the reserves. But on the face of it, right, and you know, people are poring over the 94 pages of the draft budget proposals as we speak, and probably by the end of the day we'll have some very different ideas about what this is offering. But Reform UK's leader, Lyndon Kemp-Caron, in a release last night said when this administration took office, the council was facing a very serious financial situation. KCC was saddled with more than £700 million worth of debt, which equated to £84,000 a day, and pressures on vital services were continuing to grow. And she said that this is a real turning point.
When they came in, obviously the whole Doge thing went on, and there was a lot of talk about how they were going to save money. I know you've been looking at some of the document. It's very long and very in-depth, but can you see where savings have been made? Is it quite obvious where they've managed to claw back any cash at all?
According to Reform, she said that since Reform got in, the authorities managed to deliver £100 million in savings and income. They have reprofiled, that's a new word on me, £40 million of future spending and reduced debt by £67 million. Now, the devil's in the detail of all of this, and that may well be true, but it's how much the bills are likely to go up by and how much they're going to have to take from reserves.
We can also get reaction now from Mark Hood, who's the leader of the Green Group at Kent County Council. He's been speaking to Ollie Leader.
I'm horrified by the short-termism of it, basically. The fact that we're going to go to reserves to in order to fund this is massively distressing. The fact that we're looking at... we're not going to be increasing the council tax by the maximum allowable is performative. At best, it's going to mean that we are incapable of actually getting the full value of what the government's given us, because the government's given us an uplift. Our spending power was going to have increased by 15.5%, but that relied on a 5% increase in council tax. So that isn't going to happen, and there's going to be knock-on effects for the next few years as well, because if we don't get that money this year, then the 5% maximum that we would expect in subsequent years isn't going to have the full impact. So looking at adult social care, we can see that basically the people who have got the biggest problems are going to be expected to pay more. We're extremely worried about the effect this is going to have on the residential care sector. They're not going to be getting an uplift. We know that a lot of those companies are on the brink, and this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. If they are not sustainable as businesses, the county council has to find another solution. That's likely to cost us a lot more money. You're going to see more of these providers stepping out of our framework. So it's deeply, deeply troubling. I mean, the ambition of the cuts relating to adult social care are quite breathtaking. We've already seen historical problems with making those cuts, and the overspends in adult social care have destabilised the council's budget. And the overspend for the past year isn't apparently going to be addressed at all. So there's a black hole there. So we can see that in the future we're going to have more earmarked reserves being looked at, things like the transformation reserve. If ever there's a council that needs transformation, it's ours. So there's projects that would have funded, that would have saved money going forward, that aren't going to materialise. So it's desperate. It's short-termism, the Green Party, we're extremely concerned about the outlook, the viability of the council.
Suggestions: local bosses in Dover could raise hundreds of fees on everything from football pitches to school trips have faced backlash. Council would consider upping 227 charges and introducing dozens more next week as they try to balance their budget. Residents say the town is already struggling with parking fee increases and the new levies will only make things worse. You're being reminded to have a say on how much you're prepared to contribute towards Kent Police over the next financial year. A consultation on the force's proportion of council tax finishes at the end of this week. The county's crime commissioner could increase the charge by £15 per year for a bandy property.
Kent Online News.
Some people in Tunbridge Wells have been left without water again after reservoir levels fell. South East Water have apologised for the disruption and say supplies should be restored this morning. They've now resolved a similar issue that was affecting residents in Bidborough. More passengers will have to start going through the EU's entry-exit system from today. Biometric checks are now being carried out at the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel at Folkestone. There's anger over plans to sell off the former Folkestone Library building. The site in Grace Hill has been closed since 2022 because of flooding and structural problems. Kent County Council has rejected calls to return the building to its former use. A decision to sell it is due to be signed off at a meeting next week. It's the end of an era as a shopping centre in Ashford will be closed for good later. Park Mall is due to be demolished and redeveloped by the local council. Traders have already moved out. You can see pictures of the site's history at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Roads bosses in Kent have insisted they will still press ahead with a major road project near Canterbury despite rising costs. The Sturry Link Road is expected to cost £54 million to complete, £10 million more than originally thought. It'll connect the A291 Sturry Hill with the A28. Construction is due to get underway in April. The future of Margaret Gates Theatre Royal is going to be discussed at a meeting later this month. The Grade 2 star listed building has been on an at-risk register since 2018 and major restoration work is needed before it can reopen. Council bosses will decide whether to approve funding and plans to hire a contractor when they meet on January 22nd. Major plans to redevelop a street in Maidstone Town Centre into a car-free zone have taken a step forward. Proposals have been put forward which would see a cafe culture and alfresco dining in Earl Street. Council say they want it to be their Eat Street. A decision on the scheme is expected later this month. A new inclusive toilet block at Moe Park in Maidstone is due to open later this month. £225,000 has been spent on the facility, which replaces a former ice cream kiosk. It's part of major improvements to the park. Bosses say the toilets will be up and running on January 19th. Work is underway to transform a former charity store in Maidstone into a three-bedroom home. The Save the Children site on Union Street sat abandoned for 4 years before it was bought by developers in 2024. The Grade 2 listed building is now being turned into a residential cottage. You can see pictures of the progress at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A cat cafe in Herne Bay is going to close at the end of the month after struggling with rising costs. The Cozy Cat Cafe was the first of its kind to open in Kent back in 2018. The owner's blaming a drop in customers since COVID and an increase in heating heating and cleaning bills. A Kent charity is hoping to raise thousands of pounds through their Christmas tree recycling scheme. Volunteers are picking them up from today until Sunday. Last year, 672 were recycled. They're now hoping to hit 1,000. I've been chatting to David Dadswell, who's from the Heart of Kent Hospice.
We will come round to your house. We'll collect your real Christmas tree. And through the help of some of our corporate supporters and our volunteers, we get those recycled. So it's a great social value and it's a great recycling campaign as well. So it's valuable on many levels.
So tell me a little bit about how it works. Are people able to book a slot and then a volunteer will arrive? How does the process work?
Absolutely. So if you go onto our website, hokh.org, you can select under events the Christmas tree campaign. You'll be able to check your postcode, and we cover everybody now in the hospice catchment area. They will then be able to book a slot. Once it's booked in, we ask for trees to be left out from Friday the 9th of January. And a team of our corporate volunteers will come round with a van, pick it up from outside your door. We will then take it to two of our recycling sites and get that rechipped and put back into the earth.
Is there any sort of restriction on what sort of condition the tree has to be in? I mean, I'm assuming people have to take their lights and ornaments off first before it's recycled. Are there any other rules around the condition of the tree?
Yeah. Please make sure all your family decorations are off the tree. We have had it before. We've had to wait when people have come out to get the last few baubles off. And it's only real trees that we can recycle, not the plastic ones.
And you did mention there about asking for a donation. Can you tell me a little bit about where the money raised from the tree recycling scheme where will be spent?
Absolutely. So we do ask for a donation. We hope that the minimum donation will be £15 per tree. And this money will be raised and put directly back into the services that the hospice deliver to the local community and help deliver that exceptional specialist care for those who are living with a terminal diagnosis.
How many years now has the campaign been running?
Well, I've only been with the hospice 3 years, but I know it's been running before I joined.
Yeah.
And we are building up more and more trees each year. This year, we're hoping to collect nearly 1,000 trees. So what we really hope is that people think about the hospice, they get their slot booked in, and we will come and get that and recycle that.
A new nature reserve is set to be created in Chatham. It'll be known as Horsted Valley Nature Reserve and covers land from Rochester Airport to Luton, taking in the Coney Banks, Snodhurst Bottom and Horsted Farm. The plans are to be discussed by council bosses next week. And a former Gurkha soldier from Canterbury has completed a challenge to climb the highest peak on every continent. Harry Buddhamagar lost both his legs while serving in Afghanistan and uses prosthetics to get up the mountains. His final mission was Mount Vinson in Antarctica. His team say he reached the summit late on Tuesday.
Kent Online Sports.
Westmorling's Rosie Galligan will be back in Kent this weekend, inspiring more women and girls to get into rugby. The England player will be taking coaching sessions at a recruitment drive at Aylesford Rugby Club. Jane Ashdown-Denny is the general manager there. She and I were able to sit down for a chat.
There'll be people on hand to talk you through how to join rugby, what rugby's about. Rosie and our coaches will be doing some coaching sessions, some fun sessions for the girls to take part in so that you can actually physically experience the rugby and to see actually what girls rugby is about. The fact that it's not just about standing on a cold pitch on a Sunday morning. There's so much more to rugby. There's a whole family around it and it's an all-year sport. You know, there's touch rugby and contact rugby. That's introduction to all of that.
I suppose as well you have to sort of battle that misconception that rugby is a boys' sport. You know, it's a manly, physical, tough, you know, rough sport.
Yeah, I think
it's an uphill climb in some respects.
It has been an uphill climb and it's still a massive uphill climb for girls' sport in general, but in particular rugby. There's a lot of misconceptions about girls' rugby. That, as you say, it's only for boys. It is most definitely not for boys. We have some amazing rugby players out there of all ages and obviously even in the professional game now, which is great to see. But rugby really is for anybody and of any sex. It really is. You know, the idea of even in boys rugby, we say there's a place for everybody in rugby, all shapes and sizes and all abilities. That completely agrees with the girls' side of the game as well. You know, there is a place for everybody, and that is what's so brilliant about rugby.
Have you seen any increase in interest? Obviously, the Red Roses have just had this really successful campaign. As you mentioned, Rosie Gallagher's coming down. Rosie Gallagher's coming down. Have you seen? Has that sparked an interest already, or are more young people starting to pick it up?
Every time the girls go out there and just show what a force they are, not just on the pitch but off the pitch. You watch the girls' social media profiles. They spend a lot of time about them being people and the fun they have, and how it is for anybody and the support they give each other. When a player's injured, you always see them on the cameras. Still, they're supporting the team at the training session, at the training camps. And I think that helps build the confidence and friendship that is about rugby.
And what's it like having somebody like Rosie come down? As you said, she's going to be taking some training sessions and she's just there to meet the
It's
people.
so lovely. It's lovely when Rosie comes back, and her family, to be fair, obviously, because they come from Bulls. It's really nice. It's quite bizarre because you kind of feel a little bit of a protective, let her have her time away from the spotlight as much as you want her in the spotlight for yourself. But she has always been so brilliant. She's such an advocate for the game and for the girls' sport.
The event is on from 10:30 on Sunday at the club's base in Aylesford. And taking a quick look at football now, Gillingham's latest financial accounts reveal an increase in recorded losses, which now stand at more than £13 million. There's been significant investment from chairman Brad Gallantson, who's now loaned the club nearly £7 million. The Gills have a break from games this weekend as their League Two opponents, MK Dons, are in FA Cup action. That's all for us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on social. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.